Today on Wings, Kenyan women organize to counter youth radicalization and violent extremism.
We must coexist peacefully.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Al-Shabaab is a militant Islamist youth movement based in Somalia, the country that shares a porous border with northeast Kenya. The Al-Qaeda-affiliated movement has spread its influence to local youth inside Kenya, and also in Tanzania, to Kenya's south. Attacks attributed to Al-Shabaab in Kenya have targeted malls and markets, churches, a hospital, bars, nightclubs, and public transit vehicles, as well as Kenyan military and police, which also respond with violence. A recently concluded international training project worked with women from 5 at-risk counties of Kenya on preventing and mitigating extremist violence in their areas. Diana Wanyonyi reports for Wings from Mombasa.
Through March 2017, Kenya's National Cohesion Integration Commission trained women in civil society to prevent and counter radicalization.
It's a program that we developed to bring a big group of women, create a very big network, so that these people can exchange ideas and work and try to counter violent extremism.
Irene Wanyoike, Vice Chair of Kenya's National Cohesion Integration Commission.
Our young men have been recruited. They've gone to Somalia. They've gone to other places. Some have come back. There has been a lot of insecurity in Mombasa. And so we sat down as a commission and we came up with this program and looked for funding. And we got funding from the UN Women and the Japanese government.
The commission trained 175 women from established women civil society groups as well as new groups formed especially for the project. The objectives of the training include establishing a database of women in peace and security, providing a platform for sharing experiences, and creating new knowledge for tackling radicalization and violent extremism in society.
We target women in Kilifi County, women in Mandela and Wajir, and women in Kwale, women in Mombasa County, because we know this is where violent extremism has been very, very prevalent.
Mombasa County, which is also Kenya's second largest city, is famous for its attractive clean beaches and good climatic condition, attracting both local and international tourists, thus making it prone to militia attacks.
Our aim is to bring those women together, establish a database that is of civil society and practitioners who are working in peace and security in the targeted counties, and create a very big network so that these people can exchange ideas. And when they come together and they discuss the issues, they should also engage with the county government, engage with the national government through the county commissioners, engage with the county security team, engage even with the political class so that this work can be sustainable.
Women who attended the forum in Mombasa City expressed thoughts over the forum to work against the radicalization of youths.
I'm so happy that we have been empowered a lot. We need to empower our children and to sit down with them and talk to them and tell them what is good and what is bad.
Afya Rama is the chair lady of the non-governmental Maendeleo ya Wanawake organization. Maendeleo ya Wanawake means development of women.
Women are really involved in this thing because we as parents, we need to be empowered a lot. And in terms of our security, we need to sit down with the stakeholders, and maybe when you have any information, you as a mother or you as women, that we can know who to give the information. When you take the information to the police station, we need them to guide this information and not to exploit out. Then now you become like an inciter. That's very wrong. Government should look back and sit down with these kids and empower them with what they have. Mostly our boys, so that they can be accepted in the society.
Afya Rama is the chair lady of the non-governmental Maendeleo ya Wanawake organization. Mrs. Kibibi Abdalla is Mombasa County's Director of Education. She is one of the beneficiaries of the project Empowering Women to Counter Violent Extremism.
Today's forum has been very successful, coming together and networking to try to deal with this issue of CVE. Because we've met stakeholders here with the national government, the county government, the civil societies, and even other NGOs. And mainly what we can say is that the role of women in the society to curb extremism and radicalization is that as a woman, you have to play a major role in the society to make sure that our girls and our boys are treading in the right direction. For instance, as a woman back at home, know your child, know her very well, or know him very well. In case you come across or in case you detect any suspicious behavior, please don't keep quiet, don't hide, thinking that you love your son or you love your daughter. No, please report, maybe to the father or even to the... You can even report this to the appropriate channels. Maybe you can report to police or any other where you can get assistance. Then apart from that, let us be guiders and counselors. Let us not wait for professional guiders and counselors who can come and talk to your boys and girls. You as a parent or you as a mother, take the lead to be a counselor, to be a friend, so that you can advise these boys and girls on the right path to take and also on the dangers of extremism and radicalization. And then apart from that, be involved in their schoolwork. Get to know whether they are going to school or not. Because this laxity, when there's a gap, you as a mother or as a parent, you don't know whether your daughter or son is going to school, and you are not even concerned about his education. This will lead to a gap, and mainly the child will be truant, and as a result, it will be easy for your son or your daughter to be lured in this radicalization and these extremist activities. What I've learned is that we must coexist regardless of our gender, regardless of our ethnic background, and regardless of our race. We must coexist peacefully. We should shun away from any violent activities and also extremism. And I personally, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make sure that I spread this gospel back at the grassroots and even in the learning institution as the director of education. I'm going to roll out programs in our schools or in our learning institution to sensitize the students on the dangers of radicalization and extremism.
Mrs. Kibibi Abdalla is Mombasa County's Director of Education. Nancy Mulu is a project officer at Kenya's National Cohesion Integration Commission. She explains more about the project.
This is a pilot project that is targeting 5 counties, which is Mombasa, Kwale, Kilifi, Mandera and Wajir. I think many people know there's been a lot of intervention that has been done in Mombasa County. So as opposed to Mandera, where the intervention is almost zero. So those women needed to see people like Madam Shamsa and a few here who are really working in this area so that they can be lifted and empowered and they can learn best practices. And so that was our aim, to bring them all together. They learn best practices, they share experience, they gain new knowledge. And now after that, we are in now the last phase of this project where we now go back to those 5 counties. We've started with Mombasa. We bring them together with the other stakeholders, especially the county security team. Now we ask all those questions that these people have been asking us, the women have been asking us in their trainings. They've had a lot of questions about their security, about the confidentiality of the information, about their participation, about the financial support, partnerships. So all those questions, we thought this would be a perfect forum to interrogate each other and engage and form networks and linkages and find solutions to these issues. So that's why we've come here. From here, we're going to Kwale, then Kilifi, then Mandera, and finally Wajir. I think some of the challenges, some of the things that have come up is, of course, very, very strongly that there's mistrust between these women, not just the women, but even the men, amongst all the CVE practitioners and the police. And so there's lack of information sharing, almost to the extent where women want to do their work, but they can't do it. They want to ensure the safety of their community, but then they don't know who to give the information to. They're also targeted by the community members themselves. So they really are passionate about this work, but then they're also fearing for their lives. In Mandera especially, they just don't want to talk about it because it's very, it's almost like a taboo. They say it's a taboo topic. We don't discuss it. So in that sense, it's one of the challenges. Then there's the challenge of lack of participation and space for these women to engage, to talk, and to just be given space to sit on that table where these peace agreements and peace information is being shared. The other that came out very, very strongly is the role of parents. That these children, youth, are being radicalized right under their noses and women are not doing anything. Of course, it's also being added. Poverty is fueling it because when a child brings money home, then the mother is not going to ask where it's from because they need that money. So there's been a lot of challenges. But also there's a lot of success stories. There's been a lot of hope. Yeah. Some of those success stories I've had is of women who have been threatened, who have been told, you know, we'll kill you or what you're doing is wrong. But they continue doing it. They've been so resilient. They keep working. They've been threatened by the politicians, but they keep working. And every day I'm in a WhatsApp group of networks of all the five counties, actually. I'm in the WhatsApp group. And every day I'm seeing conversations of what they've done, how they've gone and used the information we taught them. For example, there's a lady in Mombasa who now has met with newly married women to teach them about the role, the responsibility of a mother. They met separately with the old women, they met separately with the old men, and then the young men, and then they jointly had a meeting, and then everyone was able to discuss how, you know, what went wrong from those generations to these generations, what went wrong, where is the gap, or where have they left off? What is the difference between, for example, our parents' generation and how those parents stand up, our parents stand up, and then how these other guys stand out? So they've been able to interrogate each other. They found solutions. Many women have shared in this training. They've shared how they were able to monitor children who are in the process of being radicalized and how they've been able to turn them back. Mm-hmm. Worldwide, they recognize that research was done, and in 10 years, more than half of peace agreements that were signed were not successful. And one of the reasons why they saw it was not successful is because women were not on the table, yet they were the ones who were mostly affected. So once they realized that, I think that's when now they realize these women hold so much information, they know so many things that the men don't know, so they decided including women is wise. And anyway, it's women's rights. It's our right to be included, to be put on that table, to discuss the issues that affect us. We don't want men sitting and discussing for us. So why this training is important was to enable these women to give them that space, and first to equip them. They need that confidence. So once they have the knowledge and the skills, they're able to stand up and demand for their space. So that's why we said it's important to start with the training. Once they know what they're trained about, they're equipped, they're skilled, they can be able to say, hey, now we can demand for that space because we can contribute equally.
On Wings, you're listening to a report about Kenyan women working to counter violent extremism. Here is our reporter in Mombasa, Diana Wanyonyi.
On September 2016, the Kenyan police shot dead three women dressed in black veils who had attempted a terror attack at a central police station in Mombasa. The attack was foiled, but two police officers on duty were injured. Here is the voice of an eyewitness.
I went to the police station and I met a police woman at the reception who informed me that the officer in charge of the station was away and I should wait for him. Then three women in buibuis entered and they informed the police officer that I was with that their mobile phones have been stolen in a matatu, and they insisted that she should write the matter down. Then all of a sudden, a slim woman jumped over the counter and stabbed two male police officers. One of the women suspects tried opening the door of the remand cell. Fortunately, they were overcome by the police who had responded to the outcry. That is when she stepped back and threw a petrol bomb. That is when I rushed out of the police station. Thereafter, the suspects ran out of police station shouting that they are Al-Shabaab, and the police were still shooting at them until they ran out of bullets. One terror suspect took her mobile phone and threw it away, and also the other one did the same.
It has really worried us as an organization to see girls are joining Al-Shabaab and ISIS, and we are really, really, really trying to work on how we can make these things stop.
Salma Hemed is a program officer at Haki Africa, a human rights organization based in Mombasa. She explains how they are fighting radicalization.
The project that I'm currently superheading, it's called WIFE, and WIFE is a project that has an initial and it stands for Women Initiative for Their Empowerment. This project has been brought about by the highest rate of victims that are affected in issues of extremism and radicalization. And we notice that most of the people who are left behind after such cases happens are women. For instance, when a man is killed, the widow who is left behind is a woman. When a youth joins Al-Shabaab, the person who is affected most is the mother. And they are not recognized by the government on how they are affected psychologically and also economically. For us to sit and think about that, it was brought about by the cases that we've been receiving in our organization of the ongoing killings and disappearances of these men. These families, when they come to us, it's kind of they have lost their hopes in how to lead their lives because they feel now that the breadwinner is no longer there. The only thing is to give up with life. But what we have done is we've combined them in a group that we are calling it family support group, whereby they share their experiences among themselves. And by doing so, it has made people to accept their current situation and their current change of life. We are also bringing a psychologist from Nairobi who they do social psychosupport to these women, and they also make them understand that this is not the end of life. This is what you should do now. Now that you don't have a breadwinner, you are supposed to go on with life. Life has to go on. The kids who are left behind also need to go back to school. So you are now acting as the mother at the same time as the father. Also, we have encouraged them to do like women groups. And these women groups, they kind of outsource funds from the county government and then they support themselves economically. It has really helped, and it has also make them kind of be the peace ambassadors among themselves in the community. For instance, if they get to understand that there's another family which is affected with a similar issue and it's not ready to come out and speak about it, they reach on to that family. And they go and discuss with her and make her understand that you're not too alone, we are together, so this is what we should do, come join us. And then also people come out in large numbers to join this group for them to also know how they can now sustain their life. So the project that we are currently working on, it has really helped the women and the youth in a way that even these youths now feel like there's somebody somewhere who understands our grievances. Because we also engage them in these meetings whenever we call the women. We want to know what is happening, what is driving you to join Al-Shabaab, what is driving you to join criminal groups, what is it that you are not getting here that you are going to look out with, out there. And there are so many issues that are discussed, employment, injustices, and so many things, poverty, all these things. But we are telling them that two wrongs don't make a right. So the only way we can do it is to follow the right path. And to be honest, it has really helped because most youth have rebelled from joining these groups. And also they have tried to reach on to those who have already joined to see how they can make them come back and reform.
Salma says her group worries about the trend of more girls being recruited to join Al-Shabaab militia.
I can say yes, because we've had several cases that university students are now being recruited, and more to say are girls whom they've tried to cross borders, but unfortunately, or rather fortunately, they are caught on their way. And it has really bothered us in a way that we didn't expect that girls can also be used to join these groups. And I remember I had a conversation with they are called the Al-Shabaab brides, the ones who are already in prison, the ones who were caught when they were trying to cross over borders. And I tried to talk to them to try to understand what made you kind of join, wanting to join Al-Shabaab. And to be honest, it's just an ideology that they had, nothing much. And there's nothing that they were promised. To them, I was like, my fear was maybe they were going to get married or they are going there for employment. But to them, it's like, no, we are just going in our holy land. According to them, it's a holy land that if we go there, we'll kind of be serving our religion in the best way. And if we will die like martyrs. That is the ideology they have. And you see, for one whose ideology is kind of disrupted, the only way you can counter it is also using another ideology. So it's to get a moderate imam, make them understand the real sense of a religion, also make them know that this is not the way to go and Islam is not teaching this way. Otherwise, many of these young youth are going to be misled like the way they are being misled. The other one, when I tried to also ask, and she was saying that, I just found a friend in my social media account. She started talking, he started, I don't know, it's a he or she who started talking to me about my religion, and I got interested. So the times he was trying to explain to me the true meaning of our religion, I found myself interested in joining Al-Shabaab. That is why I was doing so. So I can say also social media acts a very, very, very crucial aspect here, or rather pillar, in recruitment of these young people to join Al-Shabaab. So yes, it has really worried us as an organization to see girls are joining Al-Shabaab and ISIS. And we are really, really, really trying to work on how we can make these things stop by using the same women that we are dealing with at the moment. What I can say is to urge my fellow women to know that as much as we are women, we should not be manipulated by any chance. We should stand firm. We are the peacemakers. We should be following this saying that says, in every successful man, there's a woman behind. Let us prove to them that also in every successful woman, the man should be behind. We should always not be behind. We should always be ahead. And by us being ahead is to show good example to the others that we can do, we can make changes.
That was Salma Hemed, a program officer at Haki Africa, a human rights organization based in Mombasa. Once more, here is Irene Wanyoike, vice chair of Kenya's National Cohesion Integration Commission. She sums up lessons learned during this program of countering violent extremism.
There are quite a number of emerging issues that came out very, very clearly. One of them is that the participation of women in the local peace structures is generally very low. There are counties where women are non-existent. Others, the women that have been put there are not the strong ones who can come out and say what needs to be said. Again, there is also the cultural and religious limitations in those areas we have visited. The structures on the ground, they need to be looked into. Again, there is the role of parents in mentoring and monitoring their children, because radicalization starts at a very early age. And there are signs that any responsible parent can see that my son is changing, my daughter is changing, my son is becoming argumentative, my son does not respect me, my son is even questioning the Quran, the writings, my son is even questioning the Bible. Even the way of dressing, even disappearing for long periods and coming back. Parents need to know where their children are. They need to question themselves, where is my son, where is my daughter? I haven't seen my daughter for 2 days. My son has disappeared for a week. Where are they? And that is where we are bringing the security team, so that those incidences of disappearance can be reported. Because basically there is no way your child will disappear for a week or even a month, and you want to tell me he's working somewhere and you have no idea where. There is something that has happened. We have also discovered there is mistrust between the community and the security agents in all the areas. This needs to be addressed by the security team and the women that we have trained coming together often to break those barriers. Yeah, and today we tried, we've managed to bring a few, but this needs to continue. This needs to continue. And the county commissioner and even the minister for education in Mombasa County has promised to be meeting the women often. Again, the women we have trained, the issues that have come out is that they have information, but there is no protection. They don't have protection. The minute they report what is happening, many times they find their repercussions. So there is fear and mistrust. So there needs to be measures taken to protect the women when they give information. Again, when the youth have disappeared and they have gone either to Somalia, they are radicalized. And sometimes when they reach there, they find what they were told is good, there is not good. So they come back home. And so we have many returnees in these counties who need to be taken care of psychologically. They need support to be reintegrated in the communities. And one other thing that came out is the security enforcement agencies are still using coercive approaches. And we, as a commission, we recommend that dialogue is very, very key here. We recommend that dialogue is very key between the security agents and the women who are giving information, and even anybody else. And this will help a lot in this fight, because women have got a lot of information. And so the government should invest more in the soft approaches in the war against violent extremism. Address the underlying causes of what leads to individuals becoming radicalized and turning to violence. Again, the government should formulate a clear strategy for the implementation of the amnesty policy. And we know it is in place, but let this policy come out, the strategy come out, so that people feel, when I go and I take my son or my nephew, there is something will happen. What are we doing about those young men? What are we doing about the returnees? So we need to build their capacity. We need to counsel them. We need to reintegrate them. We need to find ways of making a living. Because if they don't have a living, they might just be tempted to go back where they came from. The returnees should be offered appropriate psychological counseling and financial assistance. And I want to tell the people of Mombasa, the national government has put in place money, the youth fund, the women fund, there is some money that is there. So it is for us, the leaders, to encourage our young men, the returnees, to take their IDs, because I hear some of them don't have, to go out there and try to do some business, to empower themselves, because there is money, and, you know, to apply for those loans. And finally, what has come out? The terrorism has no religion. It has no religion. It has no race. It has no ethnicity. It has no gender. And it affects everybody across board. Christians are radicalized. Muslims are radicalized. And so we need to really review the approach that we have always had, that it is a religious terrorism has a religion. It doesn't have a religion, because most of our young men that are being recruited in universities, in high schools, in colleges, they are Christians. It's only when they go either across the border, they change their names and they have Muslim name. So for me, those are the things that have come out. And we do hope and pray that the women we have trained will be given the necessary assistance to be able to do what they are supposed to do. And I know this can work well. And this will be in line with Article 1325, the UN resolution, which says that women must participate in conflict resolution in their communities or in their country.
Irene Wanyoike, Vice Chair of Kenya's National Cohesion Integration Commission. Reporting for Wings, I am Diana Wanyonyi in Mombasa.
You have been listening to a report about Kenyan women working to counter youth radicalization and violent extremism. Wings is a weekly half-hour radio program by and about women around the world, distributed free to community radio stations that broadcast any programming in English. To ask how you can participate in our efforts, subscribe, or hear any of our programs again, email wings@wings.org. We are grateful to all our supporters, including local community radio stations that share airtime and voluntary contributions, and individuals who give time, encouragement, resources, and emotional support. Special thanks this week to Mindy Ran, Michelle Schuler, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose latest book is titled The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. The Wing Sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wing's series producer, Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.